This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. The night has been eventful, and Black Claws is got soot over shoulder, or has soot over shoulder, and just kind of holding him steady. What do you guys want to do from here?
We should probably go back to the room. Yes, you're not going to make a long journey this evening in the state that you're in.
I'm in so much pain. I just want to go back to the room. I think I just need to lie down.
Can you walk? If I support you, will you be okay, or should I? Do you need me to carry?
I don't think I can walk. You'll have to carry me. Yes, you'll have to carry me the entire way. No, I can't. I can't do that to you. Let me try. Let me try to walk. I was gonna try and. I was gonna try and make you carry me the whole way. That would have been in bad taste. I'll try to walk. I try to walk.
Well, hold for one moment, and I like sit you down on a rock or whatever, you know. And I untie the guy from the tree. I stuff my sash, in a pocket or whatever.
Don't forget your stash.
And drag him to. I don't know if you want to make like a perception check, see if I could find like, like a bunch of brambles or something where I could kind of like scoot him underneath a bunch of like bushes. So he's not like, if someone were in the woods, right? Somebody going to walk by, I don't know. But so that he's sort of out of eyesight, like someone would have to find him as opposed to just like, oh, there's a guy laying here as I'm walking by.
Yeah, for sure. Well, why don't you roll perception? You have dark vision, correct?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and roll that with advantage?
Nice. We'll use the super duper Midwest resin geek dice. Well, it's not great. It's only going to be a 12.
Even though the dice are fantastic, not every roll is great depending upon who you are.
Midwest no guarantee on the quality of your rolls.
That's right. Doesn't make you roll 20s all the time, but sometimes it does. You maybe don't find the best spot, but you do find something where you're like, well, obviously this should be in the cover of night. There's not very much light coming from the city or coming from the town at all. It's dark. So, you should be able to just throw a few, leaves and sticks and stuff like that over the body. And it shouldn't be found at least by morning.
Okay. I kick some leaves over it. His feet are still sticking out. And then I go back and I kind of crouch down and, throw Soot's arm over my shoulder and help him stand up. And I'm like, if you think you can make it, it may be difficult. If I need to carry you, it's fine.
All right, let me try. I'll try to walk. And I do try to walk.
Okay. I want you to roll me a constitution check with disadvantage.
Yes, sir. Constitution check. Con. Disadvantage gives me an 11. 10 plus 1, 11.
Okay. All right. So you can. It's not graceful. Every once in a while, you'll like bump into a stick and you'll almost fall over, but you kind of right yourself and it's clumsy, but it's like someone who hasn't slept in like 3 days. It's like literally me today. I've like ran into everything. My feet are killing me. Just sometimes when you don't sleep well, that's what happens. Yeah.
It takes away your grace.
That's right. Especially when you had none to begin with.
Negative grace is not great.
That's right. Yeah. My stats would be very low on that. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to launch into it. I'm not as graceful as I usually am. No, I can't walk. I can't do it. Oh, but you can clearly tell that I can. And I'm just ashamed of my lack of grace.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Just watch out for the. Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's, oh, God. And I check my toe to see if there's a crack in it because I just stubbed my toe on a.
I wouldn't take your boots off now. Perhaps wait until we get back to the room.
All right. But now that I've stubbed my toe, I don't believe I can walk. I'm even less graceful than I was before.
Okay, give me your arms. And he kind of like pulls you, like wears you like a backpack.
Backpack me? Yeah. The old like, backpack.
Like you're carrying little kids. I put my arms behind me, so I'm kind of like boosting your butt up. So you're like over my shoulders.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
There's Black Claws is going to the quad. Nose.
Oh, thank you, Black Claw. Thank you, Black Claw. I have no soul, Black Claw.
Did we? I guess we had that conversation kind of already, right?
Yeah, I think all that. I think because it was Artux who I think found out.
Yeah. We'll be able to figure it out. Don't worry.
I'll try not to worry.
And then we make like a big bow out from where the body is and sort of out and around. I'd like to come out kind of by where the bar is, because then we're just going to play this off as drunk as opposed to like,
you
know. So again, I don't know if that's like a survival check or something to like figure out where we come out at, or if it doesn't matter.
I'll let the dice decide. So you kind of start making your way, and like it's late enough at night where either trouble is happening, so they don't want to be seen as well, or it's people are, you know, drunkily just, you know, kind of walking up and down the street. Like, fortunately for you guys, you don't see any like authority figures or anything like that at the moment, but that doesn't mean they're not out there. It's just something that's just right now. It just seems like just a raucous night.
We blend in.
Yeah. So as we kind of like come out from behind where the bar is, you know, Black Claws is kind of like, just good stuff. We're going to go back to the, you can't even walk. You're so drunk, right? Just
so very drunk. So very drunk.
He's a sad drunk, everybody. It's just terrible.
The saddest drunk there ever was.
And then, like, okay. I'll like act like I'm staggering a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, just sort of make a show of it.
Yeah, I want Black Claws to actually roll me a performance check.
Nice,
because you're actually performing. I'm not going to make Soot do it because no matter what happens, it's believable.
Yes. Sad.
Is it that or is it deception?
I mean, whatever you want to do.
I'll say deception. Watch me roll a 2. It won't fucking matter anyway.
Yeah.
12. So that's going to be 17.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. So like, yeah, you know, some of the people like are just like hearing you or whatever. You hear somebody like kind of a little off the distance go, I hear you, man. I hear you. You know, and there's, you know, other people that are just, you know, they're like, oh, those two are having a night, but they love each other. They're good friends, you know, that kind of thing. And they, you know, people are raising glasses and kind of, you know, just walking by and tripping around and stuff like that. No one really, you know, takes anything for face value.
It's so convincing that even I go, wait a minute, like, are you actually drunk?
No. It's a ploy to get us back. Right.
Good ploy. Yes.
And then we stagger back on over to the inn. Unless the inn is at the bar, then I guess we stagger inside, go upstairs. I don't remember if it was a separate building or not.
I'm trying to think. I almost think that it was in the bar.
So. Yeah, it was part of it.
Yeah. Well, regardless.
I think it was, right? Because this is the same. Yeah. This is the same town where we burned the fucking evil church town, right? Like, we never left.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So we stagger in and go up.
Yeah. You've got a long arc in this town. People are like, them again? No. So you guys stumble up to your rooms. You know, you go in, you finally have some peace and quiet. I'm putting parentheses up, just, you know, you're finally out of harm's way.
I lower him down on the bed. And then, you know, like stretch everything, because like everything is knotted now from just carrying them for the last little while. So how do you feel?
I don't feel great. This is going to be a problem for me. I don't appear to be able to shift smoothly. So that's good. And also, I've got no soul.
Yes, that is a problem.
I appear to be dead, according to your friend.
Yes. Well, yes.
Oh, and yet alive. Well, it's just, God, I'm not used to this level of change. This is, how about that? I'm not used to this level of investment in sort of like finding my way through these sort of predicaments.
This is a most extreme commitment to the cause that we have made.
It's a very good way to put it. Yes, that is what I would. That's how I would like to amend my previous statement. I am not used to having to commit myself to such an experience in this way. I'm not. I'm having a conflict inside of me as to what to do, because I would like you to give me my soul back. I'd like to feel alive again.
I don't think that's anything that I can help with specifically, but yet I can't help but feel somewhat responsible for everything that's occurred here.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things here. In one hand, you give gold to those who are in need, and in the other, you seem to be preparing the way for your patron to succeed. You know what I'm saying? There's this like weird, and like I feel like I'm caught now in the middle of this whole thing.
It is indeed a strange dichotomy.
We stare at each other for a few moments after you say that. So, what is your best guess for how we should proceed from here? Because I, regardless of whether or not I might harbor some slight blame towards you for this, in what way would you propose, in your vast knowledge of this sort of thing, would be the best way to proceed to maybe getting me back to, you know, fighting form? I just invented air quotes.
We both look at the camera.
Yes. Karate chop the fourth wall down.
Right. You say vast knowledge. I would say that I am somewhat learning on the job to some degree. Artux, a moment, please.
Yes, let's bring Artux into the mix.
Sorry, I was taking a shower. Yes, I'm always here. What do you need?
As far as Soot's condition, have you had any more time to ponder on it? Is there anything that any path that you suggest that we may take to alleviate his situation?
From what I can see, from what your friend is, what your friend has been succumbed to, there are I think he would just know. There are two things that you could do. Number one, slay the beast, and then his soul will return. Or you must repossess. He must repossess what is his. Both require you coming in contact with that beast.
Is that a being that would exist in the Nine Hells, or is that a being that would exist on our own natural plane here?
Well, as per the ritual, as you could tell, he was living in another dimension. My full guess would be the Nine Hells. And he was trying to be welcomed into this universe. And you stopped that, but in an attempt to have linked your friend's body to the demons.
Well, shit. He says that we must slay the demon.
Oh, right. Okay. Slay the demon that has my soul. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
And then Artux kind of clears his throat like I just did. And then he says, there may be one other thing you may do, but it would probably be just as difficult.
All options are on the table currently.
He says, that wicked dagger that you have in your possession, you must find a way to destroy it. That in itself might be a conduit to having your friend's soul be transported to this beast.
Hmm. So, if we could figure out how to destroy the dagger, that may also work.
Destroy the dagger? Isn't that the dagger that we were supposed to turn that in? It's our payday.
Yes, but I'm not sure that we should, even if it didn't currently potentially possess a piece of your soul, I'm not sure that returning this dagger or turning this dagger over is the best option.
Yes, I totally agree. I didn't consider that part of it. This is not a very good thing to have just kind of turn over to people that we don't entirely trust. So we have find the demon or destroy the dagger.
The dagger is at hand.
It is. How does one destroy? Maybe we go see a blacksmith. Maybe they can melt it down and destroy it. Hmm?
It is magical in nature. I don't believe that just smelting it would destroy it.
Lots of magic involved here. Lots of soul-stealing magic. Okay, well, I know I've said this out loud before, and it has been shot down, but what about your old, your alma mater? That's what it is. Your alma mater. Alma mater? What about them?
If it would gain you your soul back, I would be willing to give that a go. I don't know that the reception that I would receive would be very warm.
Is it accurate? It strikes me as a problem. Not necessarily just my situation with the no soul and being made of stone and all that nonsense. Would this whole situation might be something that like you and your school might have to rise above in order to solve? Or is this part of an ever-revealing master plan that you're not even aware of?
Well, as you well know, beings are petty in nature.
They're the worst things that have ever existed, beings.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not sure if their hatred of me would trump the feelings that they may have about the potential end of the world. It seems a ridiculous statement to make, but such is the nature of wizards.
So was there anyone that that might still be involved in that university? Is it a university? Is that appropriate or does it matter? It doesn't matter. Wizard is anyone in that university that you trust that may have been sort of not on the side of that organization when you were kicked out?
Yeah, there were a number of individuals, outcasts of strange folks.
That still work there.
Students as well.
What about them? Perhaps they too are afflicted with the constellation scars that that I have and would have further insight.
No, I believe that affliction is entirely our own.
Such as deadpans you. How lucky. How fortuitous.
Indeed. Well, if the end does come, it should put us in some greater standing than I would imagine.
He sort of like looks up and considers that for a second, like, no! I can't imagine any sort of improved standing for the end of the world results in any sort of happy ending.
Well, I didn't say that it would be happy.
Again, air quotes, I'm a genius. So just an ending then. Okay, well, all right. I don't know if I can concentrate on that at the moment. I think what's important is that we either try to find and destroy the dagger or find the demon and kill the demon. I don't know if physically I'd be up to the task to destroying a demon, but I will give it a try if you think it's the only way or that it's probably the best bet. Can we track the demon with the dagger?
I'm not sure. We haven't really been able
to. Can
we
attune to the dagger? Oh.
Yes, we could attempt that. The other dagger as well. We still do not know what that does.
Oh, we have two daggers.
Perhaps we could. your suggestion to go to the university may also pay dividends if one of the faculty or perhaps one of the students could help us maybe summon the demon. That is not my specialty. Oh. We don't have the ritual. And of course, we've burned the building down, so the remnants of said ritual would be gone now.
We could get the guy. Nope, I just killed him.
Yes, he's quite dead.
Yeah, he's dead. Right, I lost my temper there a little bit. Yeah. Well, I think if that's the best way, if that's the best recourse, then I think we should do it.
There is. Not to put your situation on some sub, altern level, but...
No, please.
There is perhaps a much larger problem. Maybe not as large as the high priest entering our world and signaling some end to... But Eric Beguiler, he should be dead or gone if he is indeed the imposter who appears to be the king. That in and of itself is a very large problem indeed.
Are you suggesting we seek out Eric the Beguiler?
Well, I'm not saying that we should seek him out necessarily, but he is... in play, it would seem the beholder that we the DJ that we went after a few weeks ago, he was also put in place by Eric the Beguiler as well, and this cultist screams his name to the last. If he has returned, then things are dark indeed.
All right, so I'm going to pause for like half a second because at one point, Haramza, you called him Eric Beguiler, so I'm going to like change
the
it.
Beguiler.
He's going to be Eric J. Beguiler is what he's going to be.
J. Beguiler. Julius? Eric Julius?
Said it.
We got to find his middle name first before anything else. Let's find out what that
J is. The whole time, it's just J. And you didn't realize, like, you just put a J as a little thing in the middle and it'd be like, what? Edgar Hoover or whatever.
Yeah.
The J doesn't
mean nothing. Somebody. And all of this means nothing. It's a metaphor.
Right.
If we may tackle these problems all at a similar time, some of these things may dovetail together. But if we can destroy the dagger and get your soul back, it may be for naught if Eric the Beguiler destroys the Broken Coast.
What if we bring that to the university, to the magic college?
All cards
Eric the Beguiler has returned and he's coming for you, right?
They did seem to be fixated on those who would do, and he uses your air quotes, dark magic. Little four little claws come out.
Royalties. I mean, it really isn't that much of a jump to suggest that if he's coming after dark magic users, I mean, he could just broad stroke what dark magic is, you know? So like that's an interesting lever to pull.
What do you mean? You that somebody could actually just take one thing and just group a bunch of people in it and then just shun those people for that without only really knowing their personalities or anything?
Only in fantasy worlds.
Yeah, only in fantasy world. Never anywhere else.
Nope.
Sorry, I'll stop putting my world views on you. So
please don't listen. Ever. Please don't. So you ever.
Can. I was talking to the listeners because they're like, "Don't you?
I'm
don't
you put
no politics
listeners.
in my D&D in my fantasy worlds."
Hey, all of this is just a way to cope, right?
That's right. The world is burning, but we're playing fantasy.
Yep.
As you point out, it may be in our best interests to pursue that avenue. Again, I cannot say what the potential reception would be. I assume poor.
I have to say that not that this has anything to do with any potential blame that I might lay at your feet for this. I am very excited and interested to see the reaction. But of course, I stand by you. I stand by you 100%.
As I you.
And certain nods.
We should perhaps take this evening to rest as much as we may. I believe from here on out, things will get much more difficult.
I am a little scared to go to sleep, but I might not have a choice. I'm exhausted.
If you are able, perhaps, if the demon does taunt you in your sleep, if you are cognizant of such, perhaps you may learn his name. If you could gain that, then we could perhaps summon him.
Are names important in demon summoning?
Yes, true names are words of power.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, well, I'll if that does happen, I'll ask what his name is out of courtesy. I'll try to introduce myself and see if he's a courteous demon or just a piece of shit like all other demons.
I would assume the latter, but you catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
So its eyes narrow, like just confused by all the different idioms or whatever that was thrown at him. Yes, I will encounter the flies in the dream hells and get the demon's name and catch all of the flies with the honey.
I'm kind of distracted as I'm looking over at like the little desk and the little writing stuff, and I just push the quill on the floor. And then I'm like, oh, what? What was that?
So it looks back and forth between Black Claw and the quill on the floor and just shakes his head. Fucking cats, man. I'll do this because we're about to go to sleep. So I feel comfortable casting Unseen Servant to pick the quill up off the floor and put it back on the table. And I do so.
My hackles go up a little bit when the quill.
No, that's where that belongs. It belongs on the desk.
And then my eyes get real big and I just stare at the corner at the invisible servant. Hey.
Now, what you should do, Sud, is you detect the pencil and make it go here, 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 here.
My tail effort. Starts to twitch.
He pounces.
Now we're in a cat sim. I love it.
Yeah. Exactly. Roll for dexterity.
And then I just start running around the room.
So it rolls his eyes and just closes them.
The room tilts as your eyes roll.
Yeah. Although you can't tell because my eyes are just all black. So just.
All right. Yeah. So you guys fall asleep. Just as Soot falls asleep, he wakes up.
Oh.
You knew this was coming. So you feel like you are in a pitch black room, and you know it's not the room that you are staying in, because there, even in low light, you could see what's going on. And then about 40 feet in front of you, a red pair of eyes stares at you.
It doesn't matter. Hello?
And you know, the eyes, the red eyes stare into you and they almost pierce your soul, and you get that weird feeling that you're being watched, and then it's white as snow, and it's like you're in a brightly lit cubed room, and before you stands a 3 foot tall young human being. It's a little squat, but it looks like, you know, if you're talking about our ages, it looks like it's like an 8-year-old. And it says, "Hi, you must be the one that's here." And he points to it, like he's almost like he's like pointing inside of his body.
"I'm inside your body?"
"Yeah, I own your soul." And he smiles. And from what you would think would be normal human teeth is like jaggedy red teeth. They almost look like someone that has sharpened all of their teeth, and there's many, into like points. And it looks like someone has like either dipped them in red ink or has just eviscerated a carcass.
"Well, I didn't sell it to you, so I don't know why you own it. I would like it back, please."
Well, here's the funny thing. This is the funny thing that happened. So I was hanging out with my friend, and then some ding-dongs decided that they wanted to try to get me to where you live. And you know what? I don't live there. I live in this beautiful place where I get to do whatever I want, whenever I want. And then someone has the audacity to use you as this conduit to bringing me up, bringing me here. And then for some reason, it doesn't happen. I lose my hand, and you don't realize that he has his arm behind him, and he pulls it up, and he's missing like his hand, like up into like half of his, like between the halfway point between your elbow and your hand. He's missing from that up to his hand. And he's like, so I lose this, and then I gain your soul. That's, I mean, I didn't want any of this. I was just having a lovely time torturing people and, you know, just mangling bodies and just feeding on them. And then this happens.
That's, I think we can help each other out. I think we can help each other. I know where your arm is.
You do.
I can get it back for you.
I would very much love that back.
That would, wouldn't that be great if you could just have your arm back?
Yeah. And you know what, to tell you the truth, your dirty soul, I don't want it.
My dirty soul?
Yeah, now, I'm
what
sorry.
What the hell do you mean by that?
It's disgusting.
In what way?
I mean in every way. Like, you know, like me who I am because I am who I am. And you're just like, you're not happy with who you are because you just poof. Boom, boom, boom. Let's change into this. Let's change into that.
I get it. You think my soul is dirty because it's clean and you're the dirty one. I understand. You know what? Hold on. We got off on the wrong foot. Right. Let me introduce myself. My name is Soot. What is your name?
My name is none of your concern.
Damn it.
That's a strange name.
Shit. Can you imagine if that's his name? I just took it to me. Yeah. I'll never know.
He can't ever lie. So he like tells you everything, but you don't realize that his names are different, yeah. You know, in different way. He says things in a different way.
I volunteer to never realize that he just gave me his name. If that was the case. all right. Well then look, yes, my soul. Fine. Maybe my soul is a little bit dirty. Hmm? Maybe I have some stain on there and it doesn't feel good inside of you. Well, I propose that I'll give you your arm back and you give me my soul back. Fair trade. Hand out to shake, but then I realize I put the hand out for the hand that he doesn't have. So I switch hands and put the other hand out for him to shake.
He, you know, he stares at you for a little bit and he sees what you've done. And it, like, you get like this thing where it's like, he's happy. And then it switches to like, really angry, and then it like in a half a second goes back to being very happy.
Don't like that.
And he says, yes, we have a deal. And he goes and he grabs your hand, and as you shake each other's hands, a wave falls on you.
Perfect.
And you hear a lock click.
Good, it's probably fine.
You did say a wave, right?
Yes.
Hmm. A wave of anything in particular, or just like I could just like sort of when
you roll know, when you get a perception check.
Sure. Two. I'm not very perceptive. 14 to 16 total.
Okay. You've made an unbinding deal with a demon.
So just so I know.
Or what's an unbinding deal with the devil? Yeah, it's a binding deal with the devil. Sorry.
Okay.
No, no, you can unravel it whenever you want. You're done. You're out. Yep. Just say the word. You're done.
I have been unbound. I made fine. I'm making like really scattered notes so that I can go back. It's a binding deal. Which one of the? Okay, great. Okay. So, oh shit, I'm in a dream though. I don't just have my backpack on me. Guys, I quickly clicked over. I said, oh, he's missing his arm. I thought we took it, and I see in my backpack, demon arm. So I thought I had it with me in the dreamscape.
Maybe you do?
Do I have my backpack? Do I have the demon arm in my dreamscape?
No, unfortunately you don't.
Yeah. Mm. All right, so So we've made a deal, an arm for a soul.
We have. And if you don't, how would he say? And if you don't do the deal exactly like you've told me, you're going to burn in hell forever.
But I have the arm.
That's good.
You're like yelling at him.
No, you don't realize you have to deliver it to me now. Good luck.
How the hell do I? Well, wait a minute.
And then you wake up.
This is how you get in the jar. I understand.
Yep. It's only a matter of time. We're going to say that that is Soot's dream into waking up. Meanwhile, as Black
Hole. Wait, don't make any deals. Don't make any unbinding deals.
Well, you're twitching in your sleep.
You shut your mouth. It's not your turn.
Well, you're twitching in your sleep. I'm like on all fours, making a circle on the bed and then sort of like nestling in next to the pillow.
This is just for my own comedy, not because when I asked him for his name, he said, my name is none of your business, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what that, okay. Just going to put in my notes, his name is none of my business. Okay, great. Sorry. Go ahead. Proceed.
Black Claws, it takes you a little bit longer to go to sleep just because you've had an ordeal. You're worried about your friend. He's obviously going to pass out way before you are. You start to fall asleep and you hear a ringing, like a large bell ringing in the distance.
Like a ship's bell, like a low dong.
Yes. Yep. Dong. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Dig it. Yep. My back paws are starting to twitch a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say something clever, but then my brain is stupid. So you fall into this revelry of sleep, and you are back to these black waves. Trying to think of the right word. Almost like a black quartz, almost, of waves. They still kind of shine a little bit, but you can tell that the inky blackness is there. And you feel like you did when you first appeared in this area that you thought you were there with your patron. Except for you feel like you're in a different area for some reason. You can kind of still hear that bell in the background.
Let's paint a word picture. So am I like knee deep, like in the surf?
Yes, correct.
Like there's no moon, but there is light, right? Like it's that weird sort of shot. Like there is no moon casting a reflection, but there is also still like this, things are very almost like backlit. And just black waves, you know, in unknowable darkness in front of me.
Yes, exactly.
Just lapping, yep. Like up at wings. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, even if you look left, you look right, you look behind you, like it doesn't feel like there's land anywhere but beneath your feet. And you hear a voice, but you don't see a body, you don't see any shadows. You just hear a voice say, "You're becoming quite the nuisance."
I like slowly look around, you know, I look left, I look right, you know, I turn around, like I met, you know, anything like a full circuit.
Yeah. To see. You hear kind of behind you, your own voice go, the Pretender King.
So I'll turn and fix on that then. And just, you know, do I see anything?
No, it's like somebody throwing your voice and being like, this is something you've said.
Yeah. 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 I say, and yet has my patron not chosen me? Kind of like that, right? Like, not like, you know, fuck you. Like, this is, you know, I'll fucking do what I want, like Cthulhu and shit. But like,
Yeah. You hear the other voice say, my opinion, there's too many hens in the hen house.
And who are you to make such a judgment? And he kind of like starts to like slowly walk in the direction that the voices are coming from. You know, not with any haste, not with any like trepidation, just kind of like slowly strolling.
Yeah.
Right. Like he's trying to portray a certain, you know, comportment that maybe he doesn't necessarily feel, but like, I also need more information.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you hear your voice off to the left and you hear your voice say, I did not choose this. I was chosen.
Is it my voice or is it the other voice?
It's your voice again.
I think he says, and yet I am marked nonetheless.
And you hear the voice off to your left now of the other voice. And it says, you can pretend all you want. I know your trueness.
So I think he stops. He, you know, crosses his arms, cocks his head, tail, you know, slowly back and forth. And I, he says, and then what's to be done? John's with like popcorn.
You hear the other voice say, my patron has told me to find you, and find you I will.
And who is it that you serve? Surely not he who will rise yet again as the stars and, slowly align.
And he kind of, you hear kind of like a almost taunting giggle, and you almost, and you hear him say, he only walks again because I will, trying to think of the right words, because I will usher it in.
So you serve the pretender king then?
And you hear him say, he is not a pretender. He is the king below the king. Plans such as these are not ushered in quickly. They are tinkered with. They are manipulated. They are formulated. And then they are.
I don't know what I say then. I don't know. Do I get the sense that we're in the Lake of Hali, some other space?
It feels like it is, but it feels like it's in a different direction. Like maybe it's in less powerful waters.
Can I get this? I don't know what it would be to roll. Do I get the sense, or could I make the connection that Eric J. Beguiler is a servant worshiper of Cthulhu then? Right? Like that's what it points to. Right, like I'll set him free, and it's not this guy, but it would be Eric, right? It wouldn't be this the, you know, the mouthpiece, right? So could I clearly make that connection? Like, do I believe that? Is that like an insight to?
Yeah, let's like do read? An insight check.
Okay, I don't have anything in that. That's an 8.
Okay. So I'll give you one thing, and then I'm going to be vague on others. So from your conversation that you're having at the moment, when he uses your voice, he uses it to kind of talk about certain things. And the one thing that you said is when you talked about Eric the Beguiler, you talked about him being the Pretender King. And it seems like this being that's talking to you right now takes offense to that.
Mm-hmm.
So you could probably piece together that you're talking directly to him.
Oh, to him specifically. Oh, the, shit. The, okay.
The other things, as far as the king before the king, you don't know exactly where all that shakes out. But I bet if you did some thinking on it, you could piece it together on your own.
Okay, so he's insinuating that he is driving the throne regardless of the king's placement upon, right? Like he's the vizier controlling the king, essentially. This is what I take out of that.
Yeah.
Whether that's true or not, I guess I don't know. Right, because thing is, I mean, as far as we know, like his rule's been just and, you know, hasn't been, you know, any undue strictures or anything, right? Like it's been normal.
Yeah, as far as you know, but the only thing that I'll say is that I don't know if you two would be the type to have an ear to the ground that way.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's completely fair. But like, clearly now some shit is up because it's like, oh, we're going to kill all magic users or whatever, right? Like, there's nothing like that that's been happening that would be so egregious to be like, what the hell's going on with the king?
Yeah, and I'll even give you this. There, you know, you even had that group of people that were looking to take their questions to the king because of some things that have been happening here and there.
Yeah. Okay. So then I still don't know what I want to say. I was just buying time. I don't know. I think he like some false bravado. I think he says something like, if you can reach me here, then surely you know where to find us.
Oh, and don't worry, I will. That's if your friend doesn't, something doesn't happen before.
Well, let us hope not. I don't know what else he would possibly say. Like, fuck.
yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. So, you know, it kind of like, you know, your last words kind of hang out in the waters of the, you know, of this area.
And as if they weren't heard, like, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it also sounds like it's just echoing into nothing, you know, and you for a second, you kind of look out like you're expecting something to kind of happen. And then you kind of drift back into it, and then you will wake up.
At night or in the morning? Like, is this like a...
I'll say you both get a good full rest.
Okay. I mean, because even if he, like, starts awake, right, he would, like, pace the room, he would look around, he'd crack the door, you know, stick a chair underneath, look out the window, pull the curtain, look out the window to make sure no one was outside.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sleep the sleep of a cat that where he's asleep, but also, like, you know, his ears are kind of...
The ears are moving.
Yeah. Always aware.
So then we wake up. I stretch, get washed up. I look over to see if Soot's still alive.
No, I think he's awake. My eyes are open, like, wide, and just staring at the ceiling.
How did you sleep?
I may have made a mistake
while sleeping.
Right, it was a sleep mistake. So maybe it was all a dream and nothing actually happened. But something tells me something happened.
I think burns on his hand.
Yeah, I think I met the demon who has my soul. Oh, did you get his name? No, definitely did not get his name. I tried really hard, but he told me it was none of my business. So I assumed that meant that's it. But I did, however, strike a bargain with the demon. And he waits to see your reaction to that.
Like, I guess he doesn't have eyebrows, but, like, you could see, like, his brow raise.
Yeah, even with, if you don't have eyebrows, just speaking from experience, if you do raise your eyes up, they can still see the skin. It does have an effect. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, one eyebrow raise, and, like, he's, like, washing up as you're talking, and then he just, like, slowly turns.
Yeah, so his eyes, like, narrow, like, waiting to see, like, okay, slowly turned. Yes.
And what was the deal, or the bargain, as it were?
He seems pretty willing to give me back my soul in exchange for his arm. And then that sort of reminds me that I said I had his arm, so I go, like, rifling through the backpack, and I pull out the arm, because it's in there, because it says it in my inventory. Remember the demon arm?
Yes.
I shake it at you. He just wants this back, and he'll give me my soul. So that's easy, right?
I assume so. Where should we meet him?
Well, I think I have to bring it to him where he is.
Did he say?
No, he didn't.
Is he here?
No, he's not here. He seems to be in his home. You know, there's a lot of this that doesn't sound so great to me anymore. At the time, it felt like a great deal, but I don't know how to get to him.
But if he made a contract, those are binding, of course. It's more of a devil thing, I guess, but...
Well, I mean, we were going to summon him anyway, right?
Well, but you didn't get his name, so we don't know who to summon exactly. Right.
But, I'm bound to him. Maybe I can stick the knife in my chest again.
Don't do that.
No, sorry. If I'm bound to this thing, there has to be a way. There has to be some sort of, like, you know, side summoning situation. You know,
I would think so.
We need someone with some knowledge of this. Yes, right. There's a transference happening.
Yes, I'm not. It's more of a wizard thing. I never really summoned creatures. But my power comes more as if a gift from he who will rise and destroy the world. But
right, and all of that.
Yeah, you know all of that,
which we're not done with.
No.
But I think that's what happened.
Well, that's interesting. Like, and he's like toweling his hands off now. He's like,
my inexperience with these things clearly played a role in my inability to sort of navigate the treacherous scenario of striking a deal with the demon.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, while you had your situation, I too was granted an audience while I slept.
Oh, right, with he who will destroy everything.
No.
Oh, no.
May have actually gone better in light of things, but no, I believe that it was Eric J. Beguiler.
Mr. Beguiler himself, come indeed to summon thee. Oh, well, how did that chat go?
Well, it wasn't fantastic.
Right.
He was able to... I don't know now that I think about it, if he pulled me to Halley or if he perhaps tread the same waters that I reside in my sleep, perhaps.
So it's your own lake.
Well, no, it is his lake.
It is his lake, right.
Yes. I did not understand at the beginning that it was indeed him, but it occurred to me as our time drew nigh that indeed it was him. He is aware of us and
us
is coming. Well, me, but by association, you, he's aware of your current situation.
Oh, maybe he can. No, he probably doesn't want to help us. That's probably
No.
So how? Okay. All right. So Mr. Beguiler himself is in your dreams now. So that's good.
I mean, it's probably not good. Oh, you mean, yes, I understand.
Right. Yes. So then what? Okay. So is there just any, is there any hope, or do you just continue the course? And how about this? Here's a real question. Does he stand opposed to your patron?
It doesn't seem so. He said that he would be the one to usher in his reign.
So he sees you as a rival,
as
to sit at the right hand of the father, so to speak.
Well, yeah, potentially, if this was a path willfully chosen and pursued with a certain vicissitude, but as we navigate this, we seem to be, I say we, it's a, I don't mean we, I mean me, but by association, it's a royal we, are at a certain opposition to events. It is a strange position to be in. Who could have said that his coming would be as soon as it is? People are chosen or choose on their own and have come and gone and passed and maybe have worked certain deeds, set certain things in motion, but the time draws close and it seems to fall on us the greater responsibility.
To stop him.
He like looks up and away.
Would you say that there is any inherent benefit of you bringing forth this thing or Mr. Beguiler?
Given our current situation, I believe that he would not necessarily be happy with the actions that we've taken. If I or we were to usher in his grand arrival, I believe there may be certain benefits that come from that. As you say, the right hand of the father and all of that. But it would mean an end to many things that we enjoy.
So a race, then. Okay.
I mean, who's to say?
Well, that's exactly how I think it sounds. Like, he wants to usher in you both have the same patron. Isn't that fun?
No.
Oh, so he's not like you in that respect, Mr. Beguiler.
He is a willful participant in the coming apocalypse, as it were.
All right. Well, I mean, it seems to me that you have an upper hand in that in that realm. You know, I mean, I can't imagine. You know, no.
Well, I did not willfully choose, but was chosen as a vessel. We have thus far mostly stood in opposition to his will, although certain things have indeed been set into motion since we've begun our partnership.
Would you say that, see, this is where I get, sometimes this is where I get confused by your whole situation. You didn't choose this, right?
Correct.
So why were you chosen?
I suppose
that might be more of a hypothetical, because if he wants to come forward and he needs someone to help him and he gets to choose that person, then was it a mistake that he chose you? Would you say it was a mistake? This also speaks to whether or not I believe or choose to believe that you are against it or not. To be clear, the coming of the one to destroy all things.
At the time of the choosing, I found myself in a state. That state presented a certain weakness of character by which a path lay before me. As I say, I was an unwitting participant in my own choosing.
Maybe you're the sacrifice. Maybe the person who's chosen has to be unwilling. Wouldn't that be interesting?
I suppose it may. As I said, fortunate or unfortunate as the choice may have been, I certainly did not expect that the coming would be here as quickly as it appears to be.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Sometimes these things fall to us, and it is beyond our nature to understand why.
But just so we're clear on where I stand on it, I would prefer not to have all things end.
It does seem like a bad thing.
Yes. So maybe we discuss priorities.
Yes.
I would like to destroy the dagger, because the dagger does seem to be pretty important to this process, perhaps.
It is at least important in the sense of being able to summon a demon, or perhaps demons in general. We should at least find out what implications the dagger itself represents.
If we
can return the arm, then perhaps destroying the dagger isn't necessary. He kind of like shrugs.
Well, sure. I think that the first step in that process, though, is to find out how. I would like to not stab myself in the chest, but I don't like feeling this way. So much so that I would almost be partially open to the experience again if it would allow me the ability to make good on the deal that I made with the demon. Give him his arm, give me my soul back. I could be persuaded, is what I'm saying. But I would need, we need to find someone who understands this shit, right?
Yes.
Right.
I just want to go back just a titch, just in Soot's mind. When you say that I would like to destroy the dagger, the lock that you felt when you're in your dream, you feel something inside you shake and rattle a little bit, and then you continue on with your conversation.
Yeah, so there's like a moment where I just kind of like look to the side, like, right. So we need to find someone who understands this shit.
Are you okay? I mean, aside from...
Yeah, I mean, no, well, now there's a new thing with the demon, and I think that perhaps I overlooked the effect that might have on me. It just, you know what it just feels like? It feels like I'm trapped. Does that make sense? So not only, there's like an extra layer now. So I'm bound to this thing. So yes, this is a new experience since falling asleep last night. I say, there's really no need to go to sleep again.
So it's like a kid that's like learning a lot of different things about himself. It's like, oh, this is a new experience. I don't like this.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm really this is a new experience.
I don't like this as well.
Ever since joining the Thieves Guild, I have hated almost everything. Almost every new experience I've had.
That's like me in high school. All right.
Yes, right. I get that. Yeah. So yeah. So I'm trying to keep an open mind, but I'm also trying to not. I'm way out of my depth here, Black Claw. I'm going by your lead, whom I may or may not lay blame at the feet of for some of this.
I don't say anything. My eyes kind of shift left and right.
But that being said, I am. I feel equally bound to you in our experiences together as I do to this demon and to my lack of a soul and stone skin and inability, or at least, you know, partial inability to perform a very basic and instinctual act that I've been able to do since birth.
I understand. Perhaps then we should make haste for the Warlock School to see whether or not we can gain any further insight, unless there is a wizard in town who may provide some services. Perhaps we can ask down during breakfast.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. We can. Yeah. Was it this? Okay. Hold on. Sorry. This is me now. This is not the same town as the pit, right? As the hole.
Correct.
Different town. Okay. All right. Because what's her face there? She would be. That would be interesting to consult her.
I think she was mad at us the last time, though.
She probably was mad at us at the end. That's all right. Hey, the College of Warlocks is mad at you. Or the so anywhere we go, I think there's really no. We'll find someone who's mad at us for something.
They're burning bridges.
Yeah, and that's fine. You know what? Walking through fire can rebuild relationships, right?
If I remember, I don't think she was actually mad at you. I think she actually was thankful for what you did to kind of help her a little bit. Didn't and I think she ended up giving you potions in return.
Oh, did she give them or did we steal them?
She was going to give Black Claws and Soot both one, and then you guys stole more.
And we stole
so maybe
things.
She won't be.
Yeah, we definitely cast spells that she was going to know about after she left.
I don't remember. I know she was freaked out about the Leviathans, and I know she did come in and talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Deandra is who that was.
Yeah. Maybe she wasn't. I don't remember if you cast friends or not, or if we were literally talking.
I'm looking back real quick.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that you guys left off on a good note until you stole. And Deandra. Who knows if that will be a positive or negative for her.
Well, she wouldn't necessarily know that it was us.
Lady Deandra joins us for carp and milk bombs. She apparently got a lot of gold. Opens her coat. She's got potions. I distract her while Black Claw steals a second potion from her.
Doesn't sound
that's
like
it.
At all.
That's all I got for that moment. Oh God, I don't.
Sounds like more of a soot thing. Is that? Are you sure that's the right note?
I distract her while Black Claw steals a second potion from her. Oh, shit. Am I writing as Soot? Who's like changing reality? That's changing for an extra 2 gold. We get. Then I move on. So I didn't have. I didn't have too many notes after that about that.
Yeah, just to let you know, this is gonna end up being like Fight Club, where Soot is the main character the whole time, and Black Claws is not an actual character in this world.
God damn it! That's actually an interesting premise for a game where one of the characters,
she was drunk.
Yes, yep.
She was drunk, so she wouldn't know that we stole anything. I don't think.
Let me put that in there.
Because then we stole, and I think she staggered away.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, it's fine. She likes us.
There's one.
Whatever our course of action, we should probably not remain in any one place for too long.
Especially now that we can be found in our dreams. Mr. Beguiler can just find you in your dreams.
Yes, if he has the power to do such, then I don't imagine it would be too hard for him to find us wherever we may be.
No, not at all. All right. Well, then we should get on the move then.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.